we are starting a new series today. The series is called Chasing the Carrot. I would imagine that all of us in this room have a carrot that we're chasing to some degree. The carrot idea is you might feel like you're a hamster or you're just running on a treadmill with something in front of you that you're trying to get, but it always seems to be alluring. It always seems to be just out of reach. It's almost like it becomes our life pursuit, and yet we're never fully able to grasp what it is we're chasing. There's a lot of us that chase things. It's a lot of us involved in this endless pursuit. Some of us chase youth. I'm not going to show you pictures, but there are people that will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to have hundreds of surgeries in their pursuit of maintaining their youth or trying to regain their youth, because it's a priority, and no matter how hard they chase it, they never fully capture it. In fact, a lot of people, you've seen them, I mean, especially as people have more and more surgeries to regain their youth, a lot of times that pursuit makes them look older than what they did when they first started. Maybe youth isn't your pursuit. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's the American dream. Maybe it's even just happiness. Whatever it is, most of us have a carrot that we're chasing in life. It becomes our pursuit, our desire, something we try to attain to. This is important. You might want to write this down. The reason we chase the carrot is because of an internal void. The reason we have these carrots that we chase is because of an internal void resident within us. Something inside is missing. Something is unsatisfied. Something, we have this longing for something that we cannot fully put into words. And so we look and we think, you know what? Success will fill that void, or money will fill that void, or love will fill that void. And we're constantly pursuing these different things for this internal void that we have going on within us. Here's something else you can write down. Spiritual needs can't be satisfied by temporary things. And I would even say it this way, not just spiritual needs. Eternal needs cannot be satisfied with temporary things. Yet that becomes our pursuit. We're constantly wanting these things to bring satisfaction into our lives, and so we chase the carrot. Here's what I'm not saying, just so we're on the same page. I'm not saying that the void within is invalid. It is very real. There is a longing that is there. I'm not minimizing it. I'm not saying it's not there, because it is there. The problem is that this void can cause an absence of contentment in our lives, where nothing satisfies. And it can also bring depression, because look at all these other people are happy and I'm not happy, and it leads people into depression. To say that the void is invalid is wrong, because there's definitely something missing that causes us to feel the absence of something in our lives that we need. I'm also not saying that the void within should be ignored. Like if we don't think about it, it'll go away, or if we ignore it, it'll go away. It won't go away. It will be there, and it continues to be there. In fact, I would say just the opposite. If there is an internal void, something that is missing, something that is lacking in your life, you have to address it. I think that ignoring it represses it, and I think that it begins to compound in our lives. Here's what I am saying, though. The void within can only be satisfied by God. The internal void that you and I experience can only be satisfied by God Himself. Whatever's missing internally cannot be filled with something physically. And yet we continue to chase carrots in our lives, pursuing these things that we think will satisfy us. If we go back to the festival, we just ended the series of the Rolling Stone, the original Rolling Stone Festival. And if we go back to that festival, Jesus makes some statements. It's found in John chapter 7, and here's what Jesus says. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. And here's what he shouted: "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to anyone believing in him, because the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Jesus had not yet died and been resurrected, so the Spirit wasn't there. But Jesus was saying, listen, if you have a physical, if you have this longing, I'm the one that can satisfy it. You might remember Jesus has this same kind of statement, same conversation with a woman at the well. Remember, he shows up and there's this woman that's there and he says, can I get a drink? She says, you don't have anything to draw with, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Jesus says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me and I would give you water that you would never thirst again. And the woman's like, dude, I don't know what you're smoking, but I want some. That's what she kind of, in a round of effect, that's what she said. She said, I don't know what it is that you're offering, but I want some. Because what Jesus was saying is, the physical needs that you have or that you perceive that you have can't be satisfied other than through him. Jesus will satisfy all of our needs. So I want to look at one of the carrots today. I want to look at one of the carrots that I think a lot of us deal with. Maybe you're not dealing with it right now, but you might be. And that carrot that we chase is our need to be loved. All of us have a need to be loved. All of us. And so many people spend their lives looking for love, chasing that carrot. It is incredible. Online dating sites generate $2.3 billion, as with a B, dollars per year. You don't think that people are pursuing love? People are willing to invest their money, their hard-earned money, into discovering the love that they are looking for in their life. I remember my own experience with filling this void. You know how we all have a BC, right, before Christ? I have a BC before Cynthia. And I'm going to tell you a story about BC, before Cynthia, okay? So she already was in the first gathering. She heard the story, so, you know, you can't go tattling. But before Cynthia, I remember I met this girl. I knew this girl from college, and I went to college in Missouri and then went back to L.A., and while I was in L.A., this girl called me and said, hey, I just moved to San Diego. And like, cool. She says, why don't you come down here? So I'm like, all right. So I take this two-hour drive through Los Angeles into San Diego and in pursuit of filling this void in my life. And we went and spent the day together. You know, I don't remember what we did. But we spent the day together. We hung out. We had dinner. Afterwards, we hung out some more, and it was great and, you know, all that. And I remember we were sitting on the couch, and she says the words, I love you. And I'm like, I never saw her again. I never went back. I know. Now, I know you're thinking, you know what, Dave, you're afraid of commitment. No, I wasn't afraid of commitment. I'd been in a 4-year relationship prior to that. I wasn't afraid. What I was thinking is, how can somebody that just, I don't even know, how can they say they love you when they don't even know you, when they don't even have any kind of history with you, but they're saying, I love you. See, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where the thing that you were chasing becomes the thing that you're running from. But that's what happens in this pursuit of the carrot. See, our need to be loved is very real. However, being loved gets masked by different things. And we see love from this mask. And here's part of the mask of what we perceive love to be. It's our need for acceptance. We can think that it's love, but it's really our need for acceptance. And we want to be accepted. And so it could be just the acceptance issue that is a mask. It could also be our desire to be validated or our longing to be valued. It could even be our hope to be wanted. Just that somebody would want me. Just that somebody would want us. And that becomes the pursuit. It's sometimes we feel like we're so unwanted that all I want is somebody that wants me. And it's not even love itself that we're looking for, but we think it's love. See, we'll go to great lengths to find someone that will love us. We'll do crazy stuff for this love. We'll drive across country. We'll sacrifice almost anything. I've heard of some people that in the pursuit of love would abandon their kids. I've heard of people that will abandon and will compromise their integrity. I've even heard of people that will walk away from God in a pursuit of love. In other words, I would rather have this person than God himself in our pursuit for love. To say that love is a void within us or a carrot that we chase is an understatement, I think, in our world today. I think there's so many people that this is a, listen, I just be straight up. Can I just be straight up with you guys? I mean, even if you're married, you can be in a married relationship and still looking for love. Though the person of your dreams is right there, the person that you have committed your life to is there with you. People can still pursue what they think is love, but really it's lust. That's why porn industry is so high. I mean, that's why we do flirt with people at work, because we just want to know that somebody, that we're still attractive. We still want to know just that we're wanted or that we're valued or whatever it might be, even though we have this person in our life. So it's not just the single person looking for love. It's the married people that are disconnected from their spouses. Here, the problem that we look for, or the problem that we do, that we have, is we look for love in the wrong places. And this is how we do that. We look for the opinions of others as acceptance. We want the opinions of other people to be the acceptance. That becomes our pursuit. That's what becomes where we're looking for love, is through other people's opinions. Or we just strive to fit in and be a part of the crowd so that we feel wanted or accepted. Sometimes we make people our pursuit rather than God himself. And I'm not minimizing our need for relationships. Don't get me wrong. Relationships are important, but people cannot fill the void that only God can meet. There is a void that we have in our connection that is an eternal void. It is a void that we were created for relationship with God. And we cannot expect people to meet that void or to fill that void. Yet a lot of us will do that very thing. We will pursue people thinking it will fill the void that we have with this love relationship with God that we have not yet nurtured. We have to understand the void that we feel is that we were created to be live in relationship with God, to be loved by God and to love him in return, not just to go to church, not just to put like check it off my list. Listen, you can come to church and without that connection with God, you can still walk out of here empty, because this is, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago when I was talking about Jesus came to replace religion with a relationship. God is going to call us to more. God is going to call us to relationship. And so if we're trying to fill that relationship void with people rather than God, we're going to be discouraged. We're going to be empty. It's going to be missing. Let me read Ephesians 1 for you. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Let me read what the message says, because I think it makes it clear out of that first part. It says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. And he settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. We're not going to be made complete with relationships with people. God's love is the only thing that can make us whole and to fill that void, to make us complete. Listen, I know, you know, it's nothing wrong with having a spouse. That's a good thing. But your spouse cannot complete you. We've talked about this in the past. God's number one, spouse is number two. Spouse is never designed or created to complete you. If you need to be completed, which we all do, that comes out of relationship with God himself. We will never know, you've heard this before, but you will never know that God is all you need until God is all that you have. The problem is we have so much in our pursuits that we don't recognize our need for God in our pursuits. You think about it, God wants the best for you. He's for you. He's not against you. God wants the very best for you. Why is it that we would not run after him, or why would we avoid God himself? Why do we chase other things? Few reasons are these. We're looking for a feeling rather than a fact. I think a lot of times we chase other things because we're looking for a feeling rather than a fact. And if I can be just straight up with you, I think a lot of times we're looking for sex, not love. It's a big difference. And then sex becomes love. We kind of get ourselves into a very curious place. See, the fact is that God loves us completely. And it's from that fact that God loves you completely that we experience that love and feel that love. And then listen to what Scripture says in 1 John. We know how much God loves us because we have felt His love and because we believe Him when He tells us that He loves us dearly. God is love, and anyone who lives in love is living in God, and God is living in him. I think, you know, I didn't say this in the first gathering, but I think it's really important. We say that God is love, but love is not God. It's kind of like saying my dog is a boy or saying my boy is a dog. Two different meanings. God is love. He's the one that defines it. We cannot interchange that both ways. God's the one who defines love. He is love, but not all love is God either. So, just FYI. All right. We also chase after other things because we want to define love rather than have love define us. We want to define what love is rather than have love define us. We feel like we know what we're looking for. When we're in pursuit of this carrot, we feel like we know what we're looking for, and so we're pursuing what it is we think that we need. And God is saying, listen, I know what you need. I'm the one that can satisfy the need. Yet we pursue what we think we need, and it takes us in the pursuit, or it takes us in a direction other than where God Himself is. I continue the story of this girl in San Diego. On my drive home from San Diego, I remember having a conversation with God, and I remember saying to Him, God, that's it. I'm done. I don't want any relationship. I don't want a relationship for at least a year. I don't want a relationship. Because what I think I want is not what I want. What I think I'm pursuing is really not what I'm pursuing. There's definitely something deeper within me that is lacking, and I don't want to find that in a person. I need to find that in you and you alone. And I remember having this list, you know, maybe if, I don't know if anybody's like me, but you know, I had this list, and it was all the things that I was expecting in a relationship or in a spouse, and I took the list and I threw it away. I burned it and I threw it away and I said, okay, God, I'm done defining what I need. I'm going to trust for you to bring who I need. I'm going to make you my pursuit and I'm going to let you bring what I need. Now, listen, I don't say this, and I mentioned this in the first gathering, so Cynthia was here. You know, 5'2", brown hair was not on my list. I would have passed right by it. 5'2", no. It had nothing to do with her value. That wasn't on my list. It wasn't what I was looking for. The issue is, what God provided in the spouse that He gave me, all the things that Cynthia brings into my life are things that I need that I didn't even know that I needed. And I would have never discovered them had I not given the list to God and say, God, you know what I need. I want you to define the love that I need. The same applies even while we're still married. I can still look other places. I can still be distracted. I've got to recognize that what God has provided is exactly what I need, and I have to set my attention and my focus on that because it's what He's provided. God knows what we need. We also chase other things because we don't really understand God's love. While we might want to define what love looks like rather than have love define us, I think another part of what we chase is we don't really understand God's love, and that's why we chase other things. I talked to this man once, and he was telling me how he was a Christian, but he didn't feel like he was going anywhere in his relationship, and he felt very neutral, and his spiritual growth wasn't really going anywhere. And I asked him what he thought the problem was in his life, and he kind of simply said, you know, I don't think that I love God enough. And I told him, I said, I don't think that's the issue. I don't think that you don't love God enough. I think the issue is you don't love God enough because you don't understand God's love. When we fully understand, when we get into a relationship with God and we begin to understand His love, it calls us to belong more and more and more to Him. It calls us to seek Him out deeper and deeper and deeper. It calls us to not just live a half-hearted life or a life where we're one foot in, one foot out. It calls us to a committed life. When we understand how much God loves us, but most of us, just like in a marriage, do not put in the work that is necessary in developing a love relationship. Because the same work that is required in a marriage is required with God. It requires our heart. It requires time. Let me read this scripture. You've heard this scripture. You know it. Ephesians 3:16-19. Discovering God's love. Paul says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Simply put, out of that scripture, there are three simple ways to experience God's love. Three simple ways. They're nothing profound. They're nothing that you haven't heard before. They're only profound in the fact of their truth, okay? But there's three simple truths and three issues that help us to experience God's love. And the first one is this: make God your greatest priority. If you want to experience God's love, then God has to be your number one priority. He has to be your greatest priority. I mean, listen, if I want my relationship with Cynthia to be great, I cannot be investing my attention in someone else. That doesn't help our relationship. God has to be our greatest priority. And it's not about showing God how important he is. It's about not having a divided heart. It's about not having a divided loyalty with the world and with God himself. So you make him your greatest priority. You do life with him. In other words, God doesn't want to be, you've heard this before, but God doesn't want to just be, if your life is represented by a pie, God doesn't just want to be a slice of that pie. He wants to be the filling of your life. He wants to be a part of all that you do. And for us to say, okay, God, you know what? I'm going to add you to what I already do. I'm going to just give you this little slice and, hey, we'll do what we always do, but I'll do it. And God says, I want to be the filling of your life. So every part of what you do. And the last one, if you want to experience God, you've got to get to know him. You got to invest the time. You know what? I wish that there's no shortcut. There's no easy route. You want to get to know God? It's about talking to God. It's about reading the scriptures. It's about praying. It's about spending time with him. Listen, if you're married, you understand one thing. A great marriage is reflected in the time that you spend together, the work that you put into it. I'm sorry, I keep looking at this chair because that's where Cynthia sat the first gathering. So it's not like she's there and I'm... But you got to put work into it if you're going to get something out of it. I will tell you this, though, if I can. If we can't put the work into the greatest priority of our lives, which is God, please hear me. If we can't put the greatest work into our greatest priority, what makes us think we'll put any work into our second priority? You following what I'm saying? We can't, while we're looking for love and we're expecting God to provide that, we're not putting the effort into him. And then we think, or we somehow have convinced ourselves that I may not put the work into God, but when I get a spouse, then I'll put the work into them. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. You might feel like it's too late. You might feel like God's given up on you. You might feel like, man, I've wasted a lot of time. I get that. Just know that it's never too late to experience and connect with God's love. Romans 8. Paul says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You were created for this love. You were created for this relationship. Nothing else will fill it. Nothing else will fill it. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to be straight up. I'm trying to be real. Weed won't do it. Medication won't do it. There's nothing that will fill the void. People won't do it. Stop chasing the carrot because God is chasing you. I want to read a few of scripture out of Romans 9. God says, I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies. And I'll call the unloved and make them beloved. That's you. He's talking about you. The outcast, the one who feels like there's nobody wants them, the one who feels like they don't matter, the one that feels the need to be validated. And God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to make you one of my own. I'm going to complete you. And Psalms 107 says, for he satisfies the thirsty soul and fills the hungry with good. Whatever it is that you need, God wants to provide it. You can stop chasing the carrot. Listen, just keep your eyes closed. Just hear me out for just a moment. The carrot is an imitation. The carrot is orange. It's there. It gets our attention. But it's an imitation that never satisfies. I want to pray with you. After the gathering's over, if you want somebody to pray with you more, I would love to be, I'll be here. The band will be up here. We'd love to pray with you more, if you so choose. But I want to pray for us. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for identifying us as your very own. We don't need to be pursuing things. We don't need to be chasing the care. We don't need to be looking for someone to complete us, because, Father, you complete us. Father, we don't need to define what love is. We need to be defined by you and your love. Father, I just give you all of us this morning. And as we face these empty places in our hearts, I ask that you would be our greatest priority. Father, that we would do life with you, we would seek to get to know you, that we would spend and invest the time to know you and to discover your love and how great it is. Father, every person here this morning is valued. Every person here is accepted. Everyone is validated, and everyone here is wanted, because you have loved us. Thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.